This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006!
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, and brought to you each and every week by our good friends Randy and Stephanie Green with TheInnovatedCompanies.com. Make sure you check out all the arms of their company underneath one umbrella: Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, and, of course, Innovated Electric. For all your residential, commercial, or industrial needs, Randy is your man. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bought, and insured. Give them an opportunity for your business, InnovatedCompanies.com. Let's welcome in my good friend on the m4byyachty.com hotline right away, as I want to talk some baseball with him from the get-go today, and that's the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Not much, man. What's going on over there? What's going on in St. Louis these days?
Well, I wanted to ask you right away, because I wonder about this all the time. First thing, we've got people freaking out a little bit. Matt Carpenter has back issues, supposedly. And something about he's going to work at first base. So now, is that a signal to you that maybe that the experiment of moving him around isn't going well? Or do guys, they start doing all this activity and they get down there and they get ramped up and sometimes they just get sore?
I think it's what you just said last, man. I mean, when my first week of spring training was, I was painful. Never my back, thankfully, but you're talking about Mike Carpenter, man. Mike Carpenter go to sleep with 25 swings, and then he goes to sleep. Then he wakes up, instead of eating breakfast, he goes hit 50 balls in a cage. And then he goes in early with Mabry, and then he hits 500 balls. And then he goes during the BP, and then he goes after BP late, he goes and hit 500 more. I mean, you're talking about a guy that works a lot, and believe me, I was there to see it and witness myself. So I'm not surprised that he comes out with the back or something issue, because he works hard, man. He really does. We're just praying that it's nothing serious. That's all we can say, but it doesn't surprise me. A lot of players the first week, if you didn't prepare yourself, and even if you prepare yourself in the off season, you still can come up with some soreness of some sort in many, many other places.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's kind of where I was going, is it's, this isn't 1920 anymore, where guys show up to spring training to get in shape. They don't put a baseball bat down for 3 or 4 months and don't work out, and they just go do whatever they want to do, and then they roll up and start playing catch. I mean, these guys, they're working so hard in the off season. I mean, anymore, most of the sports, that's what you hear. I mean, it's pretty interesting today that, they tell you get better in the off season. It's pretty basic that these guys are working to get better in the off season. Refining your game and making changes during the season is not something that's ideal. I know that. I mean, it's hard enough to play the game, much less try to make changes to what you're already doing during the season. That being said, we've got a baseball game tomorrow. It feels like these guys just came to camp. But we got a baseball game. So,
and they just did. Some of the position players only have 1 week to get ready before the games. The catchers and pitchers, those are the ones that last 2 weeks. But, man, those position players, when they get to camp the next day, they have to face live pitching. So you better did something in the off season, because if you didn't do anything, man, you're going to be really embarrassed.
You know, Cardinal fans are, let's face it, things have been interesting this off season. You've got people, you know, look at me. I've been to all ends of the earth with the Cardinals this off season. You know, I think I'm fairly typical. I think there's fans that fall on both sides and want to stay there. I think there's fans that treat them like family. I think like we do, and we get upset with them, but then we realize, you know, they're our family. A lot of fans are going to be watching really close to spring training. Some of it is because of some of the people we brought in. We've got some young guys that have never – I mean, it's been a long time since we feel like we've got a lot of really good young players that are on the verge of making an impact at the major league level. So I think we're going to have a lot of fans really paying attention to what's going on. One of the things that always gets mentioned, and I've always wanted to ask you this, you hear this a lot, and I want you to explain it. You hear a lot that the hitters are behind the pitchers. Or is it the other way around? The pitchers are who's ahead? Like when you start seeing games, who should be ahead right now, the pitchers or the hitters?
If you work out a lot in the off season and did your work, the pitcher, let's say it, the pitcher is always ahead of the hitter. The pitcher is always ahead of the hitter. The only thing that's going to make a difference is if you did work out as a hitter a little extra in the off season. So when you get to camp, you're not that far behind. But some of them, you can see that they probably didn't grab a bat the whole winter, and they get to spring and then they expect to be ready. Because, I mean, I got those guys when I cut the pitchers. I mean, they had no chance against facing live pitching. So, but these days, like you said, a lot of them come out pretty ready to hit, you know, right away. They're ready to accept the challenge. But the pitchers are always ahead somewhat, you know, of the hitters. You know, they've been throwing for 2 weeks. They're ready to go. The other guys, the hitters are just getting their timing and getting everything down. So I think that the pitchers are the ones always on top of the hitters.
Now, it's my theory, and I think it's pretty universal, that the issue there is it's hard to replicate hitting top-level pitching in the offseason. I mean, you can take, you know, BP, and you can take all this kind of stuff, but it's just hard to replicate game situation pitching because, number one, it's not just throwing a baseball 100 miles an hour. It's actually making pitches, making certain pitches in certain counts. It's just hard to replicate that in the offseason. I would assume that's the hardest thing for hitters to try to do.
Yep, and the pitcher, you can face any hitters at any time. And even if the hitters are not it could be high school hitters. It could be college hitters. It could be minor league hitters. But you can still face hitters and work on your pitching. But the hitters, they're not going to face, you know, you're not going to see many of the major league guys all off season trying to face pitchers like that. I mean, they should, but they don't do that. So when they come to spring, it's usually the pitchers are a little bit ahead of them. And then by the first week, they start catching up.
Is that a reason for some guys why they like to play in the winter leagues? Because they get to see live pitching and get in live game situations more than just training in the off season. Is that the appeal sometimes to winter league for some guys?
I always told my minor league guys wherever I've been, and I always told my friends from AAA, my friends from AA, that if I didn't play winter ball, I would never even been close to make it to the major leagues. And what I mean by that, Jimbo, is that when I played winter ball all those years, I got to spring training ahead of those guys, ahead of the pitching, ahead of the hitters, ahead of everybody in my club. If you didn't play, that's why when I was in spring training, you know how we have infield practice, right? So when I was ahead of when I was there and I was doing infield practice, none of the veterans wanted me to throw the rounds on infield practice because they knew I was ready to throw. They weren't ready. They were just lobbing the ball out there, getting loose, getting ready right now. Man, I was fired up. I was letting my cannon go. every single throw I had, I was just, whoa, you know, throwing as hard as I could because I was ready. I just came from you know, playing in winter ball. So it takes a little bit, but I tell everybody that I could, like Cruz. Remember Cruz, the backup for Yadi?
Uh-huh.
I always, Tony Cruz, I always told him, go play winter ball. Go play winter ball because you're playing behind Yadi right now. You want other teams to see you. You want to show other teams that, you know what, I'm ready to go. Look, Yadi's my number one guy, but I'm behind him. If somebody else needs another catcher, it gets hurt or something like that. I want them to see Tony Cruz getting 200 at-bats in winter ball. That would be awesome. And then the scout would say, hey, man, this Tony Cruz is good, man. He could go. You know, he can go and play somewhere else. Let's go trade for him or something, you know. But like Kelly right now, I recommend 150% to Carson Kelly to go play winter ball. It is a great experience. It is not only that. It's a competitive ball. It's almost big leagues over there. But also, he's going to get way better. His confidence is going to be way up. When he gets to spring training, he's going to be ready to play. And you never know. You never know. Teams, after watching him in winter ball, they might start asking for him. They know Yadi signed for 3 more years. So they might start asking for this kid and say, hey, man, Tampa might say, hey, I want Kelly, man. He's show, man. In the winter, he could play, bro. Let's try to get him. You know, any team could do that. So it's a really, really good advantage, Jimbo, to go play winter ball. If I didn't do it, I wouldn't make it, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing I think for Cardinal fans to look for and maybe understand that we see a lot, it's really hard for us because – you know, we watch a baseball game, right? And we're excited to see young guys. I always say, you know, obviously I want to watch the young guys and see how they do. I'm interested to see what the veteran guys are working on and as it relates to what they've dealt with. So, like, for me, I'm going to watch Wainwright pitch, and the number one thing I want to see is what's his velocity. Because, I mean, you know, you just don't see guys all of a sudden go from throwing 91, 92 miles an hour to 83 miles an hour. It just, there's only one reason for that to happen. So, obviously, I want to watch that, right? Like, you know, if his velocity's back, then that gives me a little bit of hope that then he in turn has maybe done something to himself physically that it can improve on what he did last year. Now, there are no guarantees, but that's going to be the very first thing I'm going to watch for him. But I promise you at some juncture, whether it's Adam Wainwright, Carlos Martinez, maybe Matt Carpenter, whoever, some of these guys, especially the veterans, approach spring training different than a young guy. I think a young guy comes in and says, I've got to come in here and show I can play. Like if I'm a pitcher, I got to show I can get outs. I got to show I can dominate. I got to show them that they can trust me when they put me in the game. For a young player, they got to show I can play defense. I can hit. I'm a good baseball player. I'm a smart baseball player. I make good decisions. All this stuff. But the veterans, they approach it a little bit different. That sometimes can get hard for fans because – you know, I remember it was a couple years ago. It was a few years ago, and it was actually when Matt Carpenter really started making a name for himself. He approached his spring training at-bats differently than most. And, you know, he would take a lot of pitches. He wanted to see a lot of pitches. And people were like, well, what's wrong with Matt Carpenter? What's wrong with Matt? Well, it's because he said, in spring training, I take a different approach early. And there's a lot of guys. It isn't just Matt Carpenter. There's a lot of guys that have said that. Like, I like to see lots of pitches. I like to put myself in certain counts. I like to see... And we translate it to, are they having success or not having success? Veteran guys don't look at that. So talk to our fans a little bit about the veteran guys and what they're trying to do in spring training. And a lot of times I know it's based off their personal situations, but veteran guys approach it a little bit different. Why don't you talk about that, Benji?
Well, first of all, if you're a veteran guy, you go straight up to Mike Matheny. I'm sure Waino, like you were saying, Waino probably went to Mike and said, hey, Mike, do I have to make the team? Or do I have a spot earned? Or let me know, because if I don't have a spot on this rotation and I have to win it, I got to go after trying to get zeros, you know, and try to – same goes with the other veterans. They go out and talk to coaches, pitching coach and manager, and they say, hey, listen, let me know if I got this team made or not. If I have to make it, let me know, because I want to get everybody out there. There's no time to work on my changeup or work on my cutter and try to get it better. No, I'm going to go out there and try to make it three up, three down every single time I can. But if the manager and pitching coach, when they're sitting together, if they tell him, hey, listen, you're my number five guy starter, so get yourself ready for the season. You're my number five guy. Don't worry about it. You're not going to be there unless an injury or something. But if you're healthy, you're going to be my five guy. And then he'll say something like, okay, so I'm gonna be working more on my cutter this year. I'm going to be working on my curveball. I'm going to be working on my fastball location. So if I throw so many fastballs, please do not be upset. It's because I'm trying to work this. So when the season starts, it's a go. And that happens. But Yadi will come to him and say, he doesn't have to say anything anymore because obviously this is a different ballgame for him. Three more years and stuff. He's a veteran. He's proven. But Mike Carpenter, he's in between, right? Like you just said, he's a veteran, but not so much. So he has to step up, but depends on what they talk to him about. You know what I'm saying? Like if you are Alex Reyes and you come in the spring and they say, hey, Alex, don't worry, you're going to AAA. You're going to start in AAA for us. You're going to – don't worry, just go out there, work your butt off like you always do. And then Alex will say, okay, don't worry, I'm going to work on my curveball. I've been working on this, da-da-da-da-da. So if I get a rough outing, you know, this is what's been going on. If you see me throwing so many curveballs or whatever, this is the reason. So they have to sit down with each player and explain to them what they have planned for them. And that's how it works. You see that all the time, every time. If you're in the bubble of making the team, the manager should go to him and say, hey, listen, you got to go, man. You got to go. You're trying to make a team. You got to go from the get-go. You got to try to get hits, get on base, steal bases. In other cases, you have Fowler that, you know, it's like, hey, man, all right, do what you got to do. Take pitches, you know, whatever. You know, you got this teammate and things like that. So it's a conversation that happens in spring training with each of them, especially if you're a veteran guy, but and also with a guy that's trying to make the club. It happens. You know, that's how it happens. You know, we have to know what we have to do.
So a guy like Benji Molina, I mean, you went from, you know, being in big league camps and then going back down and then, you know, getting into your big league camps where you knew you were fighting for a job. So I guess for you, the situation basically would change from year to year based on your own personal situation. What types of things did Benji Molina used to work on in the spring training that he needed to do to get ready to play his game?
Well, my first three spring trainings, I was trying to make the team. So I went out there trying to get a double every single up bat, and I was trying to get zeros behind the plate. I was trying to throw everybody out. I was trying to be a leader out there, of course, because I was trying to make the team. But once Socha told me that I made it, he said, "Hey man, this is your team. You're made it. As long as you're healthy, this is your team. You're my number one catcher." I went up to him and I said, hey, listen, I got to know what the pitching is about, you know, who's made the club, who's not, because I need to know who's working on some things and things like that. But anyways, going back to me, when that happened, you just sit back a little, enjoy that moment, but you got to go work because now you have a job to do. Now you got to get yourself ready. So for me, I needed to go into the cage a little more and try to hit the up the middle. I was working on hit and runs. I was working a lot on bunting. I was working a lot on getting the ball up the middle and getting RBIs. I started getting myself in tune with what was coming for me for the season because Mike came to me and said, hey, man, I need you for hit and runs. I need you for bunting guys over. So can you practice that more? And I need you to get used to the pitching stuff. So I was working on everything, man. I mean, when I started, later on it became easier because I got used to, and it became easier. I didn't have to work as hard in certain situations hitting, but I still did it. I still worked hard and hitting and all that because you're getting ready for the season. So for me, I was getting ready to catch every day. I was getting my body in shape to catch every day. So I was trying to tell Mike, hey, Mike, let me in three innings this time. The next game, 5, and then we go 5, 5, 5, 5, and then later on, please 7, and things like that. So those are the little things that I was getting myself ready for the season.
So, you know, you follow this team now. We've talked about it, a lot of different things at length. Tell our listeners, what will Benji Molina be watching? Like, if you want to go through certain players, if you want to look at, you know, if you want to talk about young guys, proven guys, veterans, you can name a few of them and tell me, you know, really just walk us through what will Benji Molina be looking for this spring training? Like, what will you be watching?
I will be watching the bullpen fight, you know, who's going to pitch in what situations and stuff like that. Not early, because obviously early they're just throwing out there, getting themselves ready. But I want to see the bullpen. That's my biggest concern and my biggest deal. You know, I want to check it out. I want to see how they are. I want to see the starting rotation, of course. You know, everybody wants to see what they have. Everybody wants to see Luke Weaver, how he came back into spring. Everybody wants to see Wainwright, like you said. Everybody wants to see this guy, Nicholas, that came from Japan with the high notes. And everybody wants to see Carlos, how electric he's going to be this year and things like that. So the pitching is what I'm going to pay more attention early on instead of the hitting, because I know the hitting takes a little longer to click in, and I know that. So in 2 weeks from now, then I'll be watching everything, like hitting and everything. But for now, Jimbo, I'm going to concentrate myself in the pitching, man, and the starting and the young arms and everybody that's going to be out there throwing for us. You know, that's what my concentration is going to be.
You know, there's a lot of moving parts on this team. Do you think spring training is going to play into the eventual starting eight? And what I mean by that is I think we all know how the outfield looks. I think we all know that. I don't think there's one doubt that our starting outfield on opening day, as long as everybody's healthy, is Fowler, Ozuna, and Pham. I think that's a given. I think we're all pretty confident. Yadi's behind the plate and DeYoung's at shortstop. I think there's a little gray area in how third, second, and first is going to work. How is spring training going to come into play as far as those? I don't think there's any doubt if he's healthy. Carpenter's at one of those positions. And the only reason I say those three, I can only go by what we were told, and that is he was to be prepared to play all three of those positions. So how much does spring training come into play for guys like Jose Martinez, Jed Jerko, and Colton Wong?
Oh, those three guys that you just mentioned at the end. Carpenter doesn't have to worry about anything to make the club or play every day. I mean, he has that team made. Obviously, Jimbo, no injuries, right? Let's not,
sure.
not go there. You can go to injury to anybody that messes up everything. But no injuries, Carpenter is in one of those, like you said. Now, you have Jerko that had a really hot first half. Do you ride with him at third, because he could be helpful for the first half until the second half come in, and you never know. Juan did great, but he's injury bug, right? I mean, he's been injured a few times, and so we got to wait and see. I think they like Juan at second base. I think they like Carpenter at first, and I think they're going to go with Jerko, man. I really do believe those are the three guys that they're going to go with, unless something else happened in between, which I wanted to say something about about the fans. Jimbo, you mentioned earlier, I forgot about it. The fans needs to forget the off season already. You know what I mean? Like what we did and what we didn't do. I mean, they need to forget about it, because it's the season's here. I mean, the game is tomorrow. We're going to start going forward with what we have. So it doesn't matter. We're wasting our time thinking what they should have done and what they didn't do, right? So that's what, sure, I wanted to get out of my chest. But I think Jerko starts at third. I think Wong starts at second. And I think Carp, unless somebody gets injured, you know, or Jerko has a really horrible spring, and then here comes Jose Martinez having a great spring, so you can move Carp to third and then Martinez at first. I mean, they have the pieces to move. So the spring is going to play a big role in these three kids.
Okay, let me run some scenarios by you, and you tell me what Yachty or what Benji Molina would do. Okay, we won't put Yachty on the spot just yet since he's playing. I want to know what Benji Molina would do. Okay, sorry about that. Yep. Because I have Yachty on the mind because I'm going to ask you a question about him in a little bit. So first and foremost, we know that Carpenter's going to play as long as he's healthy. So really, what it comes down to is three guys, in my opinion: Jerko, Martinez, and Wong. Now, the issue with Martinez is, of those three guys, he can only play one of those positions. Colton Wong's the same way. He's a second baseman. Jerko's a little flexible. All things being equal, in my heart of hearts, I think they would love for Jose Martinez to come out and murder the ball in spring training. That's what I think. I think
so
they would love it. Yes.
At third, then Martinez at first. I mean, I like that lineup. That's what I'm saying. Like, this spring training is going to be, for those three kids, it's going to be really important because Jerko can play second, too. So if Wong starts, you know, not having a great spring, and all of a sudden he's really slow with the bat, and something, Jerko's killing the ball and Martinez is killing the ball, I mean, those two are going to find a way to be in the lineup. Same with Jerko. If he comes out not hot, and then Wong is hitting the crap out of ball, and Martinez is hitting the crap out of ball, I mean, put Carp at third, and let's stay with those hot bats. But this is a big, big spring training for all three kids. And I have a feeling that Martinez is going to be on top of everything. He's going to be the talk in spring training because he played winter ball. He's kind of ready. He's in pitching. He did really good in winter ball, by the way. And so when he comes into spring training, he's going to have that same attitude. And I think Martinez is going to find his way into the lineup somehow.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that only because, I mean, once again, if Jose Martinez went and did well in winter ball, which I was unaware until you said it, if he went and did well there, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's basically has done nothing but hit. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy has done nothing but hit. I mean, how do you – I mean, at some juncture, you know, I mean, he's going to win a job, and will he? You know, he may never give it back.
How do you not play a guy that is a 300 career hitter and you play a 240 career hitter guy? How do you do that? I don't know, man. It's hard for me to take and digest when I see a 300 hitter in the minor leagues that gets to the big leagues and maybe hit 280, but then you see the guy that hit 240 in the minor leagues get to the big leagues and hit 220, and he's still playing.
Well, let's say this. I think, you know, we know that, you know, your ability to do other things within the game are important. Like, you know, the only thing I can say is, and I'm sure you can expand on this, is I was going to ask you this. I mean, you know, I understand the situation in Kansas City. They had some outfielders and all this kind of stuff there, and he was maybe in a tough spot or whatever. But how did the guy never get a chance there? I mean, I would have to believe, and again, I'm just going off what happened. I'm not making any judgments. I mean, he had to be poor defense. He has to not be a very good outfielder to never get that chance. Because let's face it, again, the guy's done nothing but hit. And again, he's not a little guy. Now, I think my guess, and again, these are all guesses and all semantics, they may have hoped and wished that he was a bigger guy and maybe they wanted him to hit for more power. But hell, he seems to be doing that now. So, again, I there's a part of me that believes wholeheartedly in my heart, and I'm just going by things I hear. Again, this is all opinion. I think they would love for things to work out to where their starting infield was Carp at third, DeJong at short, Wong at second, Martinez at first. And then basically I think their hope would be is that Jerko could fill – because let's face it, I mean, you're not 100% sure what you're going to get from – I mean, you hope you get Colton Wong from last year when he was before he was hurt. And if you get that and everybody plays well, I mean, that's not bad, especially, again, you're talking about a guy that's done nothing but hit.
But Jimbo, he's not horrible in the positions he played. He's not Schwarber at left field. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He's not Schwarber. And Schwarber kills the ball. And he plays left field. He caught. He actually caught in the major league. When he was horrible catching, and that's why you see him bouncing around, of course, and they have a good catcher. But he was horrible catching, and he caught. He actually caught. Played first base when one day that Rizzo had a day off or something. Play outfield, and Martinez is above average, a little bit above average in the outfield, and maybe average at first, maybe a little below. But don't you take that average guy in a position of defenders, don't you take that average and put it into the field, because he's going to give you 300 average. He's going to give you maybe 15 to 20 home runs if he plays every day. You give him 500 at-bats, he might still give you 20-plus home run. I mean, he's going to be there. He's a spark in the batter's box. Everybody feeds from him. And then you're going to have another guy over there because that's your guy. No, man, that's not how you win. I'm sorry, that's not how you win. So I hope it works out. But spring training is going to say a lot. Maybe Martinez starts low with the bat in spring training. Maybe Jerko is one of the ones that's hot. And they got to find a spot for him. So spring training is pretty key for these three kids.
You know, I guess all things being equal, is that how you'd like to see it shake out? I know you're not real big on labeling and not pulling for all guys, but do you think the Cardinals' best move is if it works out that way and Jerko's that utility guy that can give you a lot of different things? Or Jerko also showed last year he can really play third, man. He can play some good defense.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, this spring training is going to be huge on those three guys, because if Jerko is hot coming out of spring training, like last year, what did he do? He played. You know, they didn't put him anywhere. He played because he was hot. But that same thing could happen to Martinez. It could happen to Wong. I mean, coming out of spring, Martinez could be hitting 700. You know, who knows, whatever. And he could be hot, and then Jerko could be cold, and then the opposite could happen. And Wong is cold. He's not hitting well, so Jerko would play second, and then Carp at third, and then Martinez at first if they're hot. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if whoever's hot out of spring training with these two kids, that's the one I have to put into the lineup.
Well, again,
you can't pencil a lineup right now, Jimbo. There's no way in the world with these three kids. As a fan, we cannot pencil a lineup right now when you still have a month to go to spring training. I mean, there's no way nobody can pencil a lineup right now. Nobody can say anything.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we have a pretty good feel for, you know, who's, you know, not every one of them, but I think we got a pretty good feel for the guys that are probably locks. I think we're down to, I don't know about you, and again, I know how we all view this, but in my opinion,
I don't think Wong is a lock. I don't think Jerko is a lock. I don't think Martinez is a lock. I don't think Garcia is a lock. I mean, those guys that comes off the bench like that and switch around so much, you know who I think is a lock? It's Yadi. I think Mark Carpenter is a lock, either at third or first or second. DeJong, they're going to give him another look this year. He did great. Left field, Tommy Pham or center field, wherever. Osuna and Fowler. Those are your locks. And Carlos Martinez being the opening day starter. That's the lock. Other than that, they have to play hard. They have to make the club. They have to do whatever it takes to earn a spot. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. In fact, I'm dead with you there. I those are the only things. And again, I can only go by what we know. And they asked Carpenter this offseason to train in a way that he would be physically and mentally prepared to play multiple positions. Well, that tells me, and again, if you listen to the way they talk about Martinez, I'm just putting two and two together here. I'm not saying anything's fact. But it tells me that they would love, love, love to see if Martinez could handle that everyday role at first base, as long as, you know, Carpenter can handle it defensively at third, which, listen, I know I'm not a dummy. I know there's a lot of people out there, including myself, that have seen him play defense, and we're sitting here all trying to figure out how in the hell are we going to count on this guy to play a defensive position and count on us being good and better defensively. I get it. I understand that wholeheartedly. But the fact of the matter is his offensive numbers are going to dictate that he's going to be in the lineup. Plus, you're committed to him, right? I mean, let's face it. We talk about that. We talk about the business side of baseball, too,
remember,
right?
I was going to tell you that right now, Jim. But remember one show we talk about it? If you're committed to this guy, you know he's not a very good runner on the bases, and you're committed to him because you know he's not very good at third, like they say. But he's just a good hitter. He's not a good runner. He doesn't steal bases, but he's a great leadoff guy. So if you committed to him, then knowing all these things that he doesn't do well enough, but you're committed to him as an organization, you can't come back and say, oh, man, he cannot do this. Oh, man, he's not doing this. Oh, man, he's struggling this time. No, you can't do that because you committed to him. So you got to support him after you do that. You got to go all out and try to keep talking to him and say, hey, man, we got your back. Just go out there and let's do it. Come on, let's go. You know, that's what they need to do.
Yeah, I, my whole thought on this is as I look at it and I try to figure it out, it's that, you know, again, these are all opinions. I look at everything that's been done. The roster construction, the way it's been done, you know, it shows me a few things. Number one, let's go back and look how the whole thing unfolded. There's no doubt they went out and they got – I mean, they said it last year. They didn't feel like they even had a number three, number four type hitter in the system. They didn't even feel like there was one ready. So they did. They went out and they got one. Now – people can say, yeah, they went and got Ozuna, and there's some people that think, well, you know, has he shown it enough that you can count on him? I mean, I know what I think, but again, nobody has to be 100% on board with what I think. I just know what
Dude,
I see.
Dude, we have all of those guys, Jimbo, what you just said. Do we trust that Ozuna is going to have another year like him? Oh, well, we just hope when we get these guys, we just hope that they do. It's like Tommy Pham. Do we know he's going to have this great year? No. Do we know Fowler is going to have a good year? Yes, because he's proven it for years. Do we know that Carton is going to come back and hit the ball, you know, crap of the ball? Yeah, we can trust that because he's done it for a few years. Yadi is the same way, consistent. Do we know DeJong is going to have a great year at short like he did last year? No, we don't know that. We just hope and pray that everything that he's done last year, he gets better this year, right?
Right.
So we have a few of those. We can follow. We can't fall on that philosophy that long, you know?
For sure. And you know what? Honestly, I look at the whole thing and I try to figure out, you know, for me, like where in the end is a lot of this stuff going to like shake out for us as a group? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do we do this based on, and again, it's all speculation based off what we see, right? So for me, okay, again, I say this, no doubt about it in my mind. Okay, they go out and they get Ozuna. Now they feel like, you know what? I know a lot of people wanted us to do this with bats and things like that, but if you really look at it, and the people, if you're really realistic about it, okay, I would say this. If you really, really are realistic about it, the offense really wasn't the main issue last year, right? So I think they look at it like, look, you know, we got rid of some guys that we felt like were underperforming and not trajecting where we wanted them. So we went out and got what we feel is a real middle-of-the-order bat, which, again, some people could speculate, but that's fine. But the bottom line is now you look at their lineup and you think, okay, I think our lineup is much better than it was last year, in my opinion. Okay, so you have that. But then you go look at what they did with the pitching staff, and I know that that's where we all kind of question what they did because I feel like they took a lot of chances. Now, they would say what they did was is they added arms. And maybe there's a little bit of this. It'll figure itself out in spring training. I don't know. Maybe. But there's a lot of guys down in that bullpen. And whether you think they're dominant guys or have been household names to dominate, I think the real issue is a guy like Gregerson and Norris have shown that they can do it, but where are they at in their careers? Where are they at health-wise? There's all those games to be played. So I think I agree with you that while obviously I'm excited to see Ozuna, I'm curious how Jose Martinez will do. I don't really think I am that interested to see offensively where we're at, because I think we're going to be fine there. I think it's about pitching, and I don't know, other than Carlos Martinez, Waka, I think a lot of guys got a lot to prove. Now, again, Wainwright I think is going to be different, in my opinion. I think for him it's going to be more of a, look, you just got to go out there and show us that you're healthy and you can make pitches and you
exactly.
can live.
It's a little, yeah. It's a different show. You know, like Wainwright, he's going to have to show something different. It's not like making a club. It's not like the other kiddos where you can, you know, whatever, you have to go and make the team or something like that. Wainwright is more like, okay, show us you're healthy. Show us your velocity's back up. Show us your pitches are dominant again. And then we'll take you. But the other kids, they have to make a club. They have to make sure they make the club. Mikolas have a lot to prove this year, a lot to prove. Waka is another guy that has to step up and show people that he can do it. He can be a number two dominant guy in that rotation. I mean, Weaver have to come up with his pants tight too, you know, and say, hey, listen, I'm here. It's not a fluke. I'm going to win some games for you. I'm going to go deep in the games. And then you got Flaherty that has to come up to spring and show him and say, hey, man, I'm right there waiting. So they all have to go pitch with a chip on their shoulders, man. I bet you.
Do you think there's a true open competition for the closer role, or do you think they would love to just go with Gregerson because of the veteran thing? I mean, I I've said it once, I'll say it again. The guy I would love to see get the job out of spring training, okay, because I'd love to see him say, hey, look, go get him. Let's see what happens. I'd love to see it be Tui. I don't know why. There's just a part of me that feels like he's done it. He's been groomed to do it. Let's see if he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be tried. I mean, they're going to try him too. They're going to try it everybody they can, man. I'm telling you, they don't have a name closer. And if I were them, like I always been saying to you, Jimbo, I would not name a guy closer. I would not name him. I would say, hey, man, closer by committee. When I need you in the ninth, you better be ready. Tyler Lyons, when I need you in the ninth, you better be ready. But Norris, whoever, you know, Gregerson, you know, if you're not my closer or anybody here, I don't want you feeling like you're my closer. But if I need you in the ninth, you know, I'm going to call your name, so be ready. That's the best way for a manager to take at these, you know, to take these. I don't want to name anybody because we don't have any name closer right now.
Yeah. What would you want to see out of a guy in spring training? I mean, because, again, we're not talking about, you know, I guess they're high leverage situations for them if they're trying to win a job. But in the end, you know, what was it? What would it be that you would really want to see out of a guy that would make you believe he could go close games at the big league level?
Well, it could be both. It could be two things. It could be the power, obviously, the velocity on the power on the ball, the 100 miles an hour, 99 miles an hour, something like that, or with the great slider, a swing and miss slider that we've been discussed before. But it also could be a guy that gets three outs. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
you could have 100 miles an hour with a nasty slider and have a 4.5 ERA, and then you have an 89 to a 90 mile an hour guy that is willing to give up one run, 1.5, or two ERA. Which one would you take? The 100 miles an hour guy? No. You have to take the guy who gets the three out. So they'll have to put their eyes really close to what they want, of course. I mean, I like your option. Tui is a really good arm. But, you know, he's young and you don't know what you're going to get. So we have to wait and see this spring training, who's hot out of spring training. Like I said before, whoever's hot out of spring training, like, you can tell a great arm and striking out people and getting through 1, 2, 3 real easy. Those are the decisions you're going to make back then when that happens.
Injuries. They always seem to creep up. They always seem to happen. Is it are injuries a product of spring training, or do some guys have nagging issues that they don't really crop up until you go, like, let's face it, you can't replicate games like that. You can't replicate pitching at that level and with that intensity. I mean, you can throw all the bullpens, but, you know, we see that sometimes. Guys come to spring training and they're not there a week, and all of a sudden something, and people are like, well, what the hell did they do all offseason? I mean, is it just a product of you can't replicate real game situations?
Exactly. You're right. Injuries can come from many angles. Injuries could come from overworking in the off season, and then you get to spring training, is a really different workout. You do many, many different things in spring training, which by now they should be ready in the off season and do kind of the same. Let's talk about the pitching. The pitching, throwing a bullpen and throwing in the game, is totally different. It's like 380 degrees different, man. And I'm being honest with you. You throw a bullpen, you can throw very nice and easy, but once a hitter starts to creep in and then you face Stanton or you face whatever, you know, you have to face, it's a different ball game, man. You add up a couple more miles. You want to throw from 95, you want to throw 97. The slider, you want to make it a little tighter, and your body and your arm is not ready for it. A lot of guys that get injured could also come from not being prepared, you know, like not being prepared for that situation, like we just said. You know, like you go work out in the off season, the workout in the off season is something. Once you step up on the mound, you're starting to try to do so much that you get hurt, you know. And this isn't pitching. Same way with the hitting, with the running on the bases, the hamstrings, the tight quad, maybe you didn't work out the things that you should have worked out in the off season. All of a sudden you're in practice, all of a sudden you're here, and you're doing rounding the bases, you're stopping them, you know, you're doing all these little things that you probably didn't do in the off season. You worked hard in the off season, but you just didn't do the little things that you needed to do to have all these little muscles. So spring training is very different for everybody. It's very different from working out in the off season. Like you said, you cannot put a hitter there that means something in the off season, or you cannot do a pitcher to go mean something in the off season, because it won't happen. So the injuries can come from every angle and everywhere. You know, you just hope and pray that everybody did their work and everybody still do the work in spring training. The manager takes care of you, the trainers, the physical training, you know, the training of the gym, and everybody, you know, you just hope they do the job and the players keep up with it, you know?
Yeah, and again, I'm with you. I would like to see I'd like to see some of this stuff, and that's what I'm most excited about, and I'll be paying attention to. And then let's face it, we're fans. Everybody's going to pay attention to something different, and they're going to have their own opinion and view of what they see. Spring training's a tough thing, and I get it, but, you know, in the end, I don't know about you, man, but I'm sure for a guy like yourself, just the fact that they're playing games, it's time to get excited. I mean, your juice has got to be going right now.
Heck yeah, man. I wish I could still play. My mindset, go out to spring training and try out, but my body says different, you know? So it's hard, man. But at the same time, now you know that your time has gone by. Somebody else has to do what you did for many years. I did it for 20 years, man. So now it's time for another young guy to step up and do it for 20 and things like that. So I enjoy spring training. I really do. And I understand that. I know that I don't get worried in the first week and a half of spring games, or maybe 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks for me is just evaluating everybody, how everybody is. But I don't get worried for 2 weeks of spring training. The first 2 weeks, even if Wayne will come up and get rocked, even Carlos could get rocked in the first couple of outings, I don't get worried about that. I want to see the last week of spring training how they're doing. And that's when I get worried, or that's when I get excited about.
Interesting. Like I said, those are all the things that fans will be looking for, and they'll be curious to see kind of how they play out. But again, you know, I'm excited. Like a fan, I think we all kind of look at things and say, okay, you know, what do You know, I think we're all guilty of this. What do I want to be excited about? You know, like there's certain guys that I'm pulling for, certain guys I'm hoping for. And I think all fans have that to some degree.
I know, but we should all get excited for our offense.
Sure, I think
All of us. We should get excited to see what this offense is going to do. We should all get excited to see spring training and see these young pitching staff and see what they can do. We should all get excited and see what the bullpen, enjoy the bullpen for the first couple weeks. And then after that, pay really good attention to how they're pitching and how they're doing, because that's going to come out to that opening day. I think it's in New York this year. That's going to come out pretty quick. So really, you should be excited. You're a Cardinal fan. You should be excited by now. I mean, not worry one bit. Just be excited to see these guys on the field again.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just ready. Again, I'll be watching tomorrow. I don't care who plays. I don't care who pitches. I don't care what happens. I just know I'm excited. And we'll see from there. But I know our fans appreciate you, as always, giving your take. We look at our main sponsor, innovatedcompanies.com, and we thank them so much for their continued support. You know, a lot of it is very simple. What's that?
I want to say something before I go.
Okay, go ahead.
For all the fans out there, you know, every Cardinal fans out there, when I said about Kelly the other day, a lot of people didn't take it right. I said that Kelly needs to be quiet. I'm not ordering him to be quiet. What I meant was, for me, if I was him, I would be quiet. You know, like I'll be just quiet. You know, in the clubhouse, quiet in the bullpen, and learning and taking everything in from my mentor. That's what I meant. I didn't mean him. Oh, he needs to be quiet and shut up. No, that's not one bit what I meant. You know, if people got it different, I got a couple people writing back. You know, some things, and well, that's not what I meant for him. I don't want him to be quiet like that. I mean, or shut up. No, that's not what I meant at all. What I meant was, if I were him, I would be quiet so I can learn more and more and more. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure he is. He's right now. He's just quiet, learning. But I never said, be quiet, shut up. Well, you know, that's not what I meant.
Here's what I'll say. I very rarely ever feel like I have to defend you, and I definitely don't ever speak for you. But I'll just speak for myself and say this. For the gentleman that tweeted at us, and I tweeted back at him, okay, if you have to question that, then you don't pay attention to Benji very much, and you took something out of context. That's number one. Number two, if you don't understand what it means to be quiet as a young rookie and what that means when it comes to the game of baseball, and you took it as a guy saying you need to shut your mouth and be quiet, then you need to go learn a little bit more about the game. Okay, because I don't know too many people that don't understand the game, that don't understand what that means to be young and to be quiet and soak everything in and be a sponge. Okay, so I will say that, and I don't really care. The guy can do whatever he wants. He can tweet at us and say whatever. I really don't care. That's the fact of the matter. Once again, what we have here is somebody that didn't like something that was said because it didn't fit in their narrative, so now they're going to turn it into something that it was not. And whatever. And again, this is an opinion. This is fact. Okay? So, again,
yeah.
Again.
No, but I told him, too. I told him that I said, you know what, Kelly is one of the brightest stars coming up, but he has Yadi in front, and he has one of the best mentors that he will ever have. So if I were him, I would be quiet, you know, like I wouldn't be saying much, and I would be just open my ears and try to soak in everything I can. That's all I meant, right? I mean, I didn't mean any.
And I would say this, if anybody needs an explanation what quiet in this instance means, quiet means don't get up there and act like you know everything. And I can't, and I listen, I've met Carson Kelly. Not for one minute is this guy going to get up there and act like he doesn't need to learn from anybody, not just Yadi, but let's face it. I mean, we talk about it all the time. Mike Matheny was a great catcher, folks, whether you like him or not. He was a really good defensive catcher.
Really, really good.
And another thing people don't want to like, Mike was tough as nails. Tough. This guy was
one of the toughest guys, catchers I ever known, just so people know out there.
You know, and again.
Like you said, And like you said about Kelly, Kelly's a great kid. Don't get me wrong, please. Don't get me wrong. He's a really, really great kid that has a lot of ability, a lot of potential, and he just needs to wait like everybody else. Or he could ask his agent and say, hey, listen, I'm out of here. I want to play. I mean, those are options, right?
Sure. Yeah, and absolutely. And it's well within his right. Again, I don't. We're just talking about situations here. Nobody's saying anybody's done anything. Nobody's saying anybody is mad. Nobody's saying anything like that. All I'm saying is that, again, just another example where somebody doesn't like what they hear and wants to turn into something it's not. And again, I don't care. I could give 10 shits, to be completely honest with you. If you don't understand what it means to be a young guy and be quiet, well, then you need to go brush up a little bit. And that's it. Sorry. I mean, I really don't care if you don't like it, and that's fine. They've got some nice young players, Carson Kelly being one of them. It's a good problem to have, folks. And again,
well, it's the same as Harrison Bader. How would you feel if you're Harrison Bader right now? Bam came out, had a great year. Then they go out and sign Fowler. Then they trade for Ozuna. How would you feel if you're Bader or if you're O'Neal, which I heard he's coming up, you know, he's a good player. So how would you feel if you're one of them? You will feel trapped too, you know? So those things happen all the time in baseball. Same way we signed a number one guy, same way the backup guy has to wait another year. That's why you trade Grichuk. That's why you trade Piscotty. You know, that's what those things happen.
Yeah, at some juncture, you've got to make room for the young guys to come up and play, or you have to move them. They don't do you any good sitting down there forever losing value, whether you like it or not. And again, it's not for me to say who's better and who's not. These guys will prove at some juncture who they are over the course of time, not a month, not a week.
Jimbo, let me give you guys an example. When I was coming up, I think I told you the story. When I was coming up, they had Charlie O'Brien, they had Todd Green, they had Brett Hempel, they had Phil Nevin. Most of those guys were not catchers. Most of those guys were players that they wanted to have in their team as a catcher, but they were not catchers, right? So do you know what I did when I was in AAA and somebody, Rob Carew, Larry Bowa, you know who those are, right?
Right.
Boa, Rob Carew, all those guys came to me and said, hey, man, you should have been in the big leagues 2 years ago with your ability. And I'm like, what? I thought I was, you know, right on track, right? So, no, they told me I needed to be there 2 years ago. So guess what I did? I said, I called my agent and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you straight up. I want you to call them right now and say to give me their release and I want to go play somewhere else. Or trade me because I want to make it to the big league. I needed to be up here 2 years ago, and now they have these veteran players that cannot hit at that time. And I could do that job. I could do the same. But I want you to call. And he did. He did call. He did call. It was Terry Collins, Bill Babesia, if I'm not mistaken. He did call. And that's when Terry Collins resigned. Joe Manu took the reins, and they brought me up right away. But I did call, so in favor of Kelly, he can still do that. You know, his agent can still say, hey, you got Yadi for 3 years, man. My guy is ready to play right now. I mean, let's do something. Things like that happens, man. It happened to me. I had to do that.
Well, yeah.
And that's when my career took off.
Well, and what are we really saying here at the end of the day? It won't be the first time. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last. So, you know.
Nope.
It is what it is. I don't know. Like I said, I look at it at the end of the day, and it's a good problem to have. We got a lot of good young players. We got good young pitching. We've got, you know, some dynamite outfielders in the minor leagues. I think, you know, I'd like to see our infielders be a little bit better down in the minors. But I know we've got some stuff working. I'm Delvin Perez or whatever. You know, we'll see what happens with him. It's early.
It's another thing. You get excited and see if Okendo has made a difference or base running, all that. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we should be excited about at spring training.
Yeah, again, that's why I wanted to have this conversation today, and I wanted to get you involved in it because, again, you've been there, you've played, you've taken different approaches in a lot of spring trainings, and for a lot of us Cardinal fans, you know, it'll give us a little bit of an idea on, you know, what we can look for, what might be going on versus what we think's going on, things like that. So I'm excited about it, but at the end of the day, I'm just excited for baseball, and I know you are as well. So I want to thank you for coming on this week, of course, Benji, as you do each and every week, and we want to thank M4ByYachty.com as a, you know, your brother's wonderful apparel company that does so much work for charities with all the profits and proceeds. Can't say enough about M4ByYachty.com. Make sure you check it out today. You heard me mention earlier our sponsors, InnovatedCompanies.com. They've never made it easier, folks. All three arms underneath that umbrella. You've got your Innovated Construction team, the Heating and Cooling team, and the Electric team. Everything you need, residential, commercial, industrial. Randy, you know, just a tremendous guy. You've met Randy, a man of his word. He's that old school guy that if he tells you something, he's going to do it. But he's not old school enough not to realize he needed to bring in somebody to keep him scheduled and on track. He looked no further than his own family and brought in his wonderful daughter, Stephanie Green. She's a tremendous lady and does a great job. If you call over there, that's probably who you're going to get. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, insured. Give them an opportunity, InnovatedCompanies.com. Want to thank all of our social media partners. It starts with RallySquirrel.com, Nate McHenry, the wonderful Facebook page, RallySquirrel.com. Happy to be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Make sure you check out RallySquirrel.com for that as well. Less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can be a member. Thanks to our friend Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7, everything they do for the show. That goes for Mick Light from Art City Sports as well. All those guys make sure they're always sharing our stuff, spreading the word on the show. We cannot thank all of them enough for everything they do. Cardinal Freak, St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, everything STL Sports, we thank you guys as well for everything you do. Don't forget to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show through there. It's absolutely free. Do your shopping at Amazon by clicking the banner. Doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral and helps us with production cost. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Our big ask, find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page, but you're not done. Click invite your friends and all your friends that love the Cardinals. Invite them to like it too. We want everybody to be a part of the conversation here at Two Birds on a Bat. You can then go to Instagram and find Two Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us there. And of course, special thanks goes out to lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Yo Radio, folks, check it out, the newest internet radio sensation, Yo Radio, the new product of lineupmedia.fm. Special thanks to Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen for all their work behind the scenes. Again, I can't thank my friend and yours, Benji Molina, for joining us on the M4ByYachty.com hotline enough. Benji, won't be long. We're going to see you here in St. Louis.
Heck yeah, man. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. So let's go Birds, man.
That'll boy. I leave you with a let's go Birds. See you next week.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.